Psalm 91, 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, 1. Proverbs 3, 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice again today in the fact that we know from the Word of God that we are your children, saved by your Master's grace. This is not anything that we've done. There's no merit on our behalf. There's not anything that any person can do except to accept the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We're thankful that you've given us all of these wonderful blessings. Not only salvation, but you've given us some time on this earth. And we realize that every day that you allow us to live is another day for us to advance and grow spiritually. May we understand the importance of advancing, we pray and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you'll glance up at the first verse of this fifth chapter. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, home, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put on, shall not be found without clothing. For indeed while we are in this tent we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We're of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body, to be at home with the Lord. Verse 9, therefore, also we have our ambition, whether home or absent, to be pleasing to God. Verse 10, which is our key verse for today. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 presents to us the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to put this again on the screen for you to see, even though you've seen it many times. We need to be able to have an understanding of the timeline. Most of us by now could draw this diagram and write all the details. If that's not possible for you, please pay close attention And even if you have the ability to do that, still, please pay close attention. In the timeline, eternal ages past, eternal ages future. The age of the Gentiles, Genesis chapter 1 through the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. Beginning with chapter 12, we have an emphasis upon Abraham and the age of Israel. The age of Israel was cut short by 7 years with the intercalated period, the insertion of the church. When the rapture takes place, which we've already analyzed in the session preceding this one, there will be the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where we are now. In the future, we'll be looking at some of these subjects, the marriage of the Lamb, the tribulation on Wednesday night, the second advent, perhaps the battle of Armageddon, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, the Gog-Magog revolution, the great white throne judgment, and the eternal future. We come today to some startling words in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Please pay close attention. There are three thrones on which the Lord Jesus Christ will sit. The judgment seat in heaven after the rapture. The throne in Jerusalem on the earth, in Jerusalem during the millennium. The great white throne in heaven after the millennium. I'm leaving this on the screen now for you to see. There are three thrones on which the Lord Jesus Christ will sit. The judgment seat in heaven after the rapture. That's our study for today. The throne in Jerusalem on the earth during the millennium, and the great white throne after the millennium in heaven. There is a general principle of Scripture that every member of the human race is accountable to God. I shall go back with you now to look at our Scripture. You have it in the bulletin. You have it on the screen. I trust you're able to see it from where you're sitting. The second word is gar, G-A-R, which is a postpositive conjunctive particle, to be described and translated as the first word. For all of us, there's the personal pronoun, will be manifested. For all of us will be manifested before the Bematos, B-E-M-A-T-O-S, Bema, tribunal judgment. For all of us will be manifested before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going slowly for you to be able to see the words. If you'll notice, please, that there is phanero'o, the word for manifest. The beautiful thing about this is at a point of time in history. That's the aorist tense. The passive voice says each person will be the recipient. Passive voice always says the subject receives the action of the verb. This is an infinitive mood, which is a mood of wish or desire. It's very important that we understand how the words are used from the original language. This includes you and me, so let's not leave us out. For all of us will be manifested. Infinitive, wish, desire, with a recipient's passive voice. Before God, imperative verb. Present active imperative. For all of us will be manifested before the judgment seat of Christ. Then we have the H-I-N-A, which is a HINA clause, a conditional clause. In order that we may receive aorist middle subjunctive of K-O-M-I-Z-O. Interesting indeed is this particular word in the original language. That each, according to the fact that each one will receive aorist tense, a point of time, middle voice, there can be a blessing or there can be the negative minus blessing because it's a middle voice. When you have a middle voice, it has a subjunctive mood. The subjunctive mood means maybe so, maybe no. What this is saying to us is that all of us are going to one of these days be before the judgment seat of Christ. It can be beneficial to us, or there can be the lack of benefit to us. That's the reason why we have this middle voice. Our emphasis today is not primarily on the negative aspects, but on the positive aspects. We have to see it, though, in the totality of the verse of Scripture. For all of us will be manifested before the judgment seat of Christ. HINA, in order that each individual will receive the things done through the body. Somatos, S-O-M-A-T-O-S, body. Notice what else it says here. According to what things he practiced, she practiced. What's so beautiful to me is to be able to see that in the original language, the word do can be presented in four different Greek words. I smile when I see that, and I see the way the word is used here, and the word is used to emphasize proso, which means to practice, which means you and I on the earth each day are practicing. We are either fulfilling God's plan for us, we're living our lives in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, or we're choosing to live under the control of our sinful nature, and we're not practicing that which is right and good. Please notice, and I don't want to spend all my time in the exegetical study, but you've got to see this because it's so uniquely powerful. For all of us, every one of us, as believers, Paul's writing to the Corinthian believers, for all of us, before the tribunal, the judgment seat of Christ, it will be manifested. It's an imperative verb saying it's going to happen. In order that each one, again a subjunctive mood, will do something. They will give an account of the deeds done in the body. The things practiced while we're here on the earth. Now notice how unique this is, and I've got to explain this. It says either good, A-G-A-T-H-O-N, A-G-A-T-H-O-S, agathos, which means God's good, intrinsic good, a word that all of us have heard here many, many times over these last 40-some-odd years, the things we've practiced, whether it be good, intrinsic good, God's good, or whether it be P-H-A-U-L-O-N, which is P-H-A-U-L-O-S, phalos, which means putrid, no good, bad. You and I have a choice on a day-by-day basis whether we're going to be fulfilling God's plan to fulfill intrinsic good or no good. That's what it says. Now, how can I explain this? All right, let's do it again. There are three thrones on which the Lord Jesus Christ will sit. The judgment seat in heaven after the rapture, that's the one we're studying now. The throne in Jerusalem on the earth during the millennium. The great white throne in heaven after the millennium. There's a general principle of Scripture that every member of the human race is accountable to God. Your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, they're not responsible for you or me. It's individual. It's personal. God will evaluate each and every person according to his deeds. That simply means that we have to go to Revelation 22:12 and Psalm 11:4. And I would encourage you to write those verses down. When you go to Revelation 20, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, it emphasizes all unbelievers will be evaluated at the great white throne. Now, you'll have to notice that there's a difference between the judgment seat of Christ for the believers and all unbelievers being evaluated at the great white throne judgment. Perhaps you need to look at this again, just for a few seconds. If you'll notice over here, there's the 1,000-year reign. There's a great white throne judgment. Unbelievers. What's so interesting, we may or may not get into this, but during this 1,000-year reign, people will still have individual choice, volition. And some individuals will reject God's plan, even though Jesus Christ is the ruler at that particular time. And so many of these individuals saying no to God's plan, not accepting God's plan of salvation, they will make up a part of that group that will be involved in the Gog and Magog revolution when Satan is released for a little period of time. I'm tempted to get into that more, but I can't do that right now. The great white throne judgment is what we're emphasizing here. All unbelievers will be evaluated at the great white throne judgment. However, our emphasis today is not on the unsaved individuals. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether it be good, agathos, or phalos. The judgment seat of Christ, then, is an evaluation of a Christian's production during his, her entire Christian life. I need to pause for just a second to let you see something. There is no judgment of sin at the judgment seat. You want to write that? You should. There's no judgment of sin at the judgment seat. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We've accepted Him. He's accepted us. Sin has been bought and paid for. We don't face the judgment seat of Christ related to our sin. Sin, there's no judgment of sin at the judgment seat. Believers' sins were judged at the cross, and Christ was our atonement for sin. Powerful, powerful indeed. The Greek word that you have seen, and I repeat now, is phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. I wish I could really put into words today what the meaning of that word is. I could use a word that you appreciate, dung. I could give other words, but I won't do it. I want you to be able to see what God is saying through the Apostle Paul to these believers who practiced those things that are not intrinsic good. It's bad. It's sinful. It's lustful. Many things could be said. Bad deeds refer to that which is worthless, in the sight of God. These are not sins, but they're worthless production. Production which does not measure up to the intrinsic standard. These deeds are wood, hay, and stubble, which are produced by believers when they are in a carnal state, not filled with the Holy Spirit, during periods when sin is not being confessed on a regular basis. On the other hand, the believer who is living in fellowship with the Lord, the Bible describes that as gold, silver, and precious stones, which is described by the Greek word agathos, which is production by a believer who is walking in fellowship, who's controlled by the Holy Spirit, in harmony. A Christian will be controlled by the Holy Spirit and be occupied with Christ and will live in the Word of God or not. The longer I live, the more I'm able to see how precious and wonderful this is. Have I reached the final destination in my spiritual advance? Of course not. Have you? Of course not. But let me say, and I can see it more clearly now than I could a few years ago, living in fellowship, in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, you back off and you're amazed to see how God is allowing you to walk in the Spirit, walk in harmony, walk in fellowship, and as my wife describes it, you find yourself, what she says, gliding. I like that word, gliding. It's not an emphasis upon you and your greatness. It's dependent upon you allowing God to do what He desires to do for every born-again believer, to glide and to just see how God is directing. And sometimes you're not seeing why it's happening, but you can look back and see, wow, I can see how He put that all together for His honor and glory and for my good. Do you see what I'm trying to get over? The power of His production comes directly from Him. The power of His production, which is not an emphasis upon phalos, it's not an emphasis upon that which is worthless, it's an emphasis upon that which is God's good. Agathos. All production of your life and mine is either phalos or agathos. I can just hear some of you going away from here today and saying something to your friends and saying, what type of life are you living? Is it phalos or agathos? And they say, are you crazy? Where have you been? What have you been hearing? And I say, it's okay. Don't do that. Don't go out and say, have you been living, practicing phalos or agathos? What I'm asking you to do is to remember what I'm saying. I'm saying two words that are powerful words indeed. Agathos is God's good, intrinsic good, living in harmony, in fellowship, making mistakes, oh yes, being restored to fellowship, oh yes, finding yourself under the control of your sinful nature, oh yes, understanding that you don't want to stay there, oh yes, and you admit that fault and failure and sin, and you get back in harmony, and you're seeking to live your life on a higher plane, in harmony, in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me stop for a moment. Does this make sense? Are you able to see it? It's neat. If you're about to go to sleep, homie, wake up. I'm going to ask you a question. Does this make sense? And you say, what are you talking about? Well, if you'll just wake up and stay awake for a little while, you're going to be able to see it. Look at it. The power of His production comes directly from Him. All production of the believer, phalos or agathos, will be evaluated at the judgment seat. Notice now, The instrument of evaluation is fire. Wow. The production which is not burned up during this evaluation will be the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, which indicates that as far as God is concerned for the believer, he now has rewards for the believer. 1 Corinthians 3, 11, 12, 13, 14. Do you have it? Let's go back. 1 Corinthians, I didn't mark it, so I'm going to have to go back here to find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, giving you time to turn your Bible to that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If any of you would like to give me some paper clips for Christmas, I could use them. I could just imagine what's going to happen now. Oh, me. I shouldn't have said that. 1 Corinthians 3, 11. For no man can say a foundation, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. Now look at this, verse 12. Now if any man builds upon the foundation, which is gold, silver, precious stones, or on the other hand, wood, hay, straw, each person, each man, each individual's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself would testify, would test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon remains, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Wow, what a passage of Scripture. Gold, silver, precious stones is the basis of rewards for the believer. A believer should never try to evaluate another believer's production. Oftentimes that happens. Somehow believers can become egotist and feel like they're qualified to look over on some other believer and judge that individual whether or not they are in fellowship with the Lord. If that has ever been your fault, please don't tell me about it and don't admit it to anyone other than the Lord and get it over with. A believer should never try to evaluate another believer's production. Now let's look quickly at conclusions. Judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. The judgment seat of Christ eliminates any need for any other human evaluation of your life and mine. Just as you will not be evaluating other individuals, they're not to be evaluating you. Number two, the judgment seat of Christ is an evaluation of human effort, works of the flesh, and divine good, works of the Spirit. That's what we've seen here in 2 Corinthians, our verse 5:10. Conclusion number three. The judgment seat of Christ is a time of loss or gain of rewards. Number four. Rewards can be denied, but salvation not lost at the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, when a believer gets to the judgment seat of Christ, there's not going to be any loss of salvation. This is an evaluation of the deeds done in the body. The reason why I'm emphasizing deeds is because I want you to see in a few moments, I'm going to come again to that word. Five, walking out of fellowship means a loss in two ways. We lose while we're here on the earth, and we have a loss in eternity. Not loss of salvation, but loss of rewards. And we find that in Hebrews 6, 7 through 12. Hastening on, number 6, the judgment seat of Christ is actually God's grace in action. And the scripture says we're judged by the law of liberty. We're judged by the law of liberty. God does not coerce or force any one of us to live in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that choice on a day-by-day basis. We can live out of fellowship under the control of our sinful nature, or we can choose moment by moment to find ourselves when out of harmony to get back in harmony and continue to live in proper relationship to Jesus Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is actually God's grace in action. And we're judged by the law of liberty. And one more point. The ancient games depict the rewards, and we could get into that. But I'm going to ask you now to go to one other passage before we leave. And that's Revelation chapter 20. We're going to look at this verse for just a few moments because it's so powerfully important. I'm going to start with verse 6, just to let us see where we are. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. We're going to be getting into this. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. We'll be talking about that. And when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison. We'll be talking about that. And will come out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. Verse 10. We're in Revelation 20. You ought to look at it. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and forever and forever. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. A great white throne. And him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. No place was found for them. Now, I've got to let you see these verses, 12, 13, 14, 15. These are powerful verses. I saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened. And another book was opened. Please notice we have two things here. We have books, plural, and we have book, singular. Look at that. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which are written in the books according to their sins? No, according to their deeds. Whether it be agathos or phallos, if you're following along, you're seeing it more clearly now than you've ever seen it in your life. Verse 13. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. They were judged. Every one of them according to their sins? No. Every one of them judged according to their deeds. Practiced. There's the Greek word do, practiced deeds. And death and Hades, verse 14, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And we're going to go home looking at verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book, singular, of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Folks, I'm telling you today, it's important for us to know what God's Word says in relationship to the judgment seat of Christ. And then we'll see later how unbelievers will go into the place of eternal destruction, not because the sins were not bought and paid for, but because the sins were bought and paid for, and they said, no, 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 I won't accept it. Father, thank you today that you've given us the message so plain and so clear. And we pray at this moment for those who've never accepted you that they will accept you now. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be many at this very moment who will accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.